To know the Lord, to have this book open in our lives. We really are such blessed people to study the Word and to grow in the grace and knowledge of a person, Jesus Christ, in our lives. That we are not just Christians who go to church, but we are disciples who are learning the Bible and growing in our faith. What a joy. And I think as Christians, we have grown to love this book so much, to value it, to treasure it so much. I know as a local church, it's such a joy to be journeying through the scriptures together. In these past few years, we have gone through the book of Acts, the book of Ezra, the book of Haggai, the book of Titus. Last month, we finished the book of Daniel. This month, we finished the book of John. And yesterday, in the men's group, we finished the book of 1 Timothy. And I think next Sunday, we perhaps may begin the book of Galatians. So we have topical messages also on different themes, but we really love and enjoy expositional teaching and preaching, traveling through the books, because that's how you get to know the Bible. There are no shortcuts, and the reward is so great. So let's have a prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning, this moment, this opportunity. I pray for each person who is listening, whether it be live or later to this sermon. Oh, help us as we listen. Quicken us. Help us sit up and give you our focus in our hearts, our full attention as we look to you in faith. Bless this time. Use it greatly in our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In Psalm 119, verse 61, the psalmist said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Amazing words. The psalmist says, I rejoice at your word as one who has found great treasure. And how much do you and I treasure the word of God in our lives? The word of God is, it says of itself that it is something to be greatly desired, more than gold, yes, more than fine gold. Psalm 19, verse 10. And in this psalm we just read from, Psalm 119, which incidentally is the longest chapter in the Bible, it's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, it's longer than some of the other books in the Bible. And it is perhaps written by David or Ezra, we are not sure, but one thing we are sure of, that the author, the writer of this psalm, 176 verses, 171 of those verses, he makes reference in some way to the scripture. Your testimonies, your statutes, your commands, your word, your law. It's very evident that this psalmist, this believer, was someone who treasured the word of God so greatly in his life. There was a Scottish hymn writer. He wrote books and tracts, and he was in a long line of ministers in the Free Church of Scotland. His name was Horatius Bonar. He lived in the 1800s, and this is one of his many poems. This book I would rather own than all the golden gems that in the monarch's treasures shone with all their diadems. And were the sea one crystallite and the earth a golden ball and diamonds all the stars at night, this book is worth them all. Ah, no, the soul ne'er found relief in glittering hoards of wealth. Gems dazzle not the eye of grief. Gold cannot purchase health. But here a blessed balm appears to heal the deepest woe, and those who read this book in tears, their tears will cease to flow. Some believers have the Bible, but have not discovered the Bible. They have read the Bible, but they have not plummeted the depths of the message and the balm and the gospel They have not discovered what it means to draw near to God by the Word, to open the Word, to pray with the Word, to allow the Word of God to speak to their hearts. To have the Bible and to discover the Bible are two things. If you've discovered the Bible, though, how rich you are. It's a secret. It's a feeding of the soul in this dry and thirsty land with people seeking purpose and satisfaction in so many different ways. And here lies, and perhaps for many, sitting on the shelf in their very home, here lies the answer. For by the Word, we hear of God and we hear from God and we discover the gospel. It speaks to us. It cleanses, it purifies, it satisfies, it edifies, it convicts, it guides, it leads us. I read this quote the other day. Some people are so poor because all they have is money. Isn't that true? Some people having so much money and wealth and possessions and yet so poor, so bankrupt, spiritually speaking. For we were made for more than just this life, just this earth, just than physical possessions. I'm going to read some passages this morning. This is Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What an incredible promise that you will find the knowledge of God. It is something to discover. It is something to connect with, commune with, receive from. It is God's ministry to us. It is knowing Him, not just knowing about Him. We are told to seek wisdom, wisdom being the principal thing. What is wisdom? Wisdom is to live for what we were made for. We were made to know God. We were made to walk with Him. Imagine a man who lives his life. He was made for God. He was made to know God. He is not only body and flesh and blood, but He is spirit and soul. And He is made for a connection with heaven, and yet he lives his life without God. He is, in the greatest sense, we could say, he is a fool. He is not wise. He has not sought wisdom. He has not discovered the most important thing in his life. If a man can be so qualified and intellectual and have all letters after his name and have achieved great things and yet miss wisdom in the principal sense. The proverb continues, verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant for your soul. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, each one who is listening this morning, listen. Life is a journey. Life is an opportunity. We are pilgrims. We are on this timeline, and there is a quest, a purpose, a search, a calling on our life. It is the life's pursuit of wisdom, to know Him, to find Him, to know Him, to walk with Him. And if you have that at the center, then whatever else you do in your life, you win. For blessed is that man. But sadly, many do not apply it. Many neglect it. Many do not walk through the doors of a church. They do not open the pages of this book. They do not seek God in their life. It would be like a doctor who gives a prescription to someone who is sick. And he says, listen, this is serious. Here is the medication. You must take it, you know, 3 times a day for 3 weeks. And every day that person in their sickness They walk past the shelf and there is the medication, and they understand that it will meet their needs, and yet they never stop, they never open it, they never take it. And it's the same with many who may pass their Bible every day, who may drive past the church every day, every Sunday. And they are missing the most important thing. Not religion. Or listen, not religion. Not tradition and just singing hymns and going through the traditional motions. No, but something deeper, where the deep calls to the deep. Where man meets God. Where there is the converting of the soul. Where the wise is made simple. There is the rejoicing of the heart and the enlightening of the eyes, as we read in Psalm 19. That is the effect of the Word of God in our life, in our soul. The converting of the soul, the making wise of the simple, rejoicing the heart, enlightening the eyes. But we must be aware that we have the tendency, the possibility to be hearers and not doers. That we get the prescription, but we don't take it. We understand the principle that I need spiritual food, and yet I never go the extra step. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man, or blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Oh, that captures what we want to say this morning. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Wisdom, and wisdom in the biblical sense means to know how to think with God, to know how to walk with God and to do it. That I live my life in faith, walking with Him, thinking with Him, allowing His word to be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 119, 105. But here in Proverbs 3, let's go back, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her, wisdom, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain more than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Listen. Think of all the things that you may desire. The Bible says they cannot compare with her. They cannot compare with wisdom. They cannot compare with someone who has found God, who knows God, who doesn't say I'm a Christian by name only, but is a Christian and a disciple who follows after God and knows Him. Verse 18 says, she is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Oh, isn't it true that as a Christian with a burden in our heart, we will want to say to everyone we know in our life, everyone we love in our life, our children, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our neighbors, even to the people we don't know, we would want to say to them, oh, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who discovers God, who discovers the Bible, who learns what it means to be spirit-filled and to live by faith. If it was believed that there was gold and silver in a hillside, do you not think that man would find a way to dig and to search and to mine it? He would start digging and bringing the machinery in straight away. He would find the vein of silver or the vein of gold, and he would mine it because he would believe it is valuable. Well, listen to this in Job 28, verse 1. Surely there is a mine or a vein for silver, and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from the ore. Man puts an end to darkness and he searches every recess. What a picture. He puts an end to the darkness. He brings light. He digs tunnels. He builds mines. And he is searching every recess to find the gold and the silver and the copper. Verse 9. He overturns the mountains at the roots. He cuts out channels in the rocks, and his eye sees every precious thing. He dams up the streams from trickling. What is hidden, he brings forth to light. It's amazing the great lengths and pains that man will go to mine the earth, to find the treasures of the earth's core, the minerals, the gems, the precious stones and precious metals. And he will do all he can to dig down and find the treasures of the earth. But what about the treasures of heaven? What about the treasure from above? Because look at the next verse there in verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be purchased for gold, nor silver be weighed out for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or fine gold. No mention shall be made of the coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. That paints the picture very clearly, doesn't it? On how we should value wisdom compared to the things in this life and in this earth. For we could gain all of those treasures and miss this treasure and be so bankrupt. For some people in this world are so poor, all they have is money. And of course, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having the finer things in life. But if that's all you have, you lose. You are not considered wise in the eyes of the Bible, but foolish. So where do we find this wisdom? Where do we get it from? In these beautiful pages of this precious book, and by the Holy Spirit, there is something illuminated to us. There is something that we discover. There is something that we seek and we find, that we come by faith, and something that we receive. It can't be bought with gold or rubies. It can't be acquired by man's educational pursuit or his own intellect, but it comes through faith and humility, and it comes from the hand of God's grace. And by his Spirit, he will give us wisdom. And we draw near and we see something that is eternal. It comes from God. Wisdom speaks of knowing God. Wisdom speaks of following God, of thinking with God, of being satisfied from the inside out. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Lean not on your own understanding, and he will direct your path." That's wisdom. Walking in this life with a divine purpose. Psalm 14, verse 1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." But Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." The fool and the wise man. The fool, in his ultimate conclusion, the fool in the greatest example, if it was on a spectrum, the fool on the furthest extent will be the one who says, there is no God. And the wise man will be the one who understands that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is wisdom, that I would fear God. Not in the sense that I am scared of him and I run from him, but the other type of fear in the Bible, the reverence, the respect, the awe, the wonder, the acknowledgement that I am a man and I live before God. That is wisdom. Fanny Crosby was a famous missionary and a hymn writer, and this is one of her hymns or poems. "Blessed Bible, book of gold, precious truths thy pages hold, truths to lead me day by day all along my pilgrim way. Blessed Bible, pure and true, guide me all my journey through. Heavenly light within me shine, help me make your precepts mine. Lamp of faith, my feet to lead, bread of heaven, my soul to feed. Living waters, pure and free, book of books, you are to me. Word of God, your love in part. Fire my zeal and cleanse my heart. Keep me earnest, keep me true. Every day my strength renew. Oh, this book. Give yourself to it. Have it open in your life. Read it, ponder it, learn it, memorize it, meditate upon it. Be a student and learn it, and discover the Bible. Discover devotion in your life. This deserves our full attention. For through it, grace is revealed. Through it, we learn the gospel. Through it, we see and get to know Jesus. By his word, we are quickened by his spirit. And he draws us. He speaks, he heals, he changes. My orientation to the Bible as a Christian is so important. And be aware that we have a tendency to wander, to go astray, to neglect the important things in our spiritual life. But this is what we cannot neglect. This is what we must have open in our life often. Make it your life's pursuit to find wisdom. Proverbs 8, verse 1 says, "Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips, and the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her." That same phrase, isn't it, that we read in Proverbs? All the things one may desire cannot be compared with her, with wisdom, and where she will lead us. Think on it carefully, study it prayerfully. Deep in your heart, let its oracles dwell. Ponder its mysteries, slight not its histories, for none can e'er love it too fondly or well. Accept the glad tidings, the warnings and chidings found in this volume of heavenly love. With faith that's unfailing and love that's prevailing, trust in its promise of life from above. God told Joshua in Joshua 1, as Joshua was about to embark upon his calling as the successor to Moses, and God said, "Oh, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, so that you may prosper wherever you go." There's the prescription for success in life. Not to the right, to the left, but follow after, pursue wisdom, honor God, and he will honor you. Verse 8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." Notice these words, "You shall meditate therein day and night. You will observe to do all." And with great love and grace, we consider what that means to believers. Do all believers, are we meditating day and night on the scriptures? Some Christians, God bless them, struggle even to get to a church on a Sunday, and that's wonderful. And by the way, we commend anyone for any step of faith in their life, and we know that it's a struggle and there's spiritual warfare. But what we're saying is that we don't want to be satisfied with nominal Christianity, where we wear the hat and we go to church, but we are called to something deeper, something greater, that we would have meditation, we would have pondering, we would be mining through the word to seek to follow the vein of silver and redemption, that we might find God afresh, that we would meditate, that we would ponder, we would consider, we would discover. Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. And you say, wait a minute, can't I walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Yes, you can. Can't I stand in the way of sinners? Yes, you can. Can I not sit in the seat of the scornful? Yes, you can. You are free. But if you do that, you do not find wisdom. You are not being led by wisdom. You are not honoring God or walking God, walking with God. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I wonder how many Christians have learned to delight in the word, to hunger after the word. And his law does he meditate on day and night. There it is again. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. And his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Listen, this is a promise. Not from me, but from God, from this book. This is a promise from heaven. For anyone who has an ear, let him hear. Here is a promise. If you honor me, I will honor you. If you seek me, you will find me. If you walk this way and stand this way and sit this way before me, if you delight in my word, or here's the promise, you will be like a tree planted. And others, your friends, your unsaved friends, your work colleagues, your family, people in your life will see it. They will see the life, the health, the fruit. They will sense that your roots are tapping something beautiful. I called a precious sister in our church yesterday, I think it was. I was asking her how she was doing, and she hasn't been a believer for so long, I think maybe a year or two, and she was baptized right here. And she said to me, oh, I love this book. I don't know what I would do without the Bible. God speaks to me through it. I love the sermons, I love hearing the messages, and I love my devotion that every day I have a quiet time and I go to the Bible. And she said, oh, I don't know what I would do without this book. And in my heart, I said, oh, this is wonderful. This is beautiful. There is someone who has discovered the Bible and who is pursuing wisdom in her life. And you say, well, I'm not sure how to start. It's very simple. You open the Bible. You purpose. You have a disciplined decision in your life that you open the Bible and you read and you ponder and you pray. You say, well, I don't have time. I only have 5 minutes. Okay, take that 5 minutes and open the Bible every day. You say, I'm not sure when to start. And I would say, well, don't start tomorrow. Start today. Because tomorrow becomes tomorrow becomes tomorrow. And it's just one of those things we know we should do and we know we want to do, but we never do. Start today. Open the Bible and have a quiet time. You say, I'm not sure what to read. This is why we have a church and we're in church, because we're learning the Bible. We're getting handles and framework and context of the Bible. But start in the Psalms or the Gospels, or follow the menu of the pulpit. When you hear a sermon, go and read those passages and ponder them for yourselves. The last passage here in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, and then we'll finish. And this is a passage that is a prescription for the king. When the king of Israel would come into the throne, this was written to him. And it says, it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. One of the first things the king of Israel had to do as he sat with his great power and authority over the great kingdom, as he sat in his throne with all of his subjects, he was told that before the priests he would make a copy of the law. Amazing. What an incredible process. Of a humbling process to keep his feet on the ground, to keep his life in perspective. verse 19, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of his law and these statutes and do them. It shall be with him. He shall write it. It shall be with him all the days of his life. He will read it all the days of his life, and it will help him. It will keep him. He will learn to fear the Lord his God. And verse 20, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right or the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. This is something that keeps my heart in check. It is having the Bible in my life daily and hearing it and listening. Oh, listen, let's treasure this book. Let's pursue wisdom. Let's seek and find. Let's draw near and believe. Let's not neglect this book. But there's never been a time, perhaps, in our life, in our history, that this book needs to be open in our lives. It's a marvel. We understand that we have a whole day, and before you know it, it's gone. We need to be disciplined and purposed, and to have a plan that we would desire this more than fine gold. Amen. Father, we thank you for this book, for these words. We ask you to help us to treasure this book, to value it, to seek it, to have it open in our lives. If I'm a young teenager, if you're a young teenager today, oh, hear this with all your heart, that God has a plan for you. Don't neglect the word, but seek the word. God will honor you. And for each one, from the youngest to the oldest, oh, bless us this morning with this important message, we pray. Perhaps there's someone here who's not a Christian. You're not sure if you're saved or you'll go to heaven when you die. Oh, here is the gospel. Jesus loves you. He died and he's buried and he rose again for your salvation. Put your faith in him this morning or this day and say, Jesus, I put my trust in you. Save me by your grace through faith. In Jesus' name, amen.